Well, as usual, I've got a title here today, and I haven't made a mistake with this one, but we're calling this teaching, How is Your Hearing These Days? How is your hearing these days? And of course, if you were to say that to most people, they would give you an answer, or they would probably say, oh, I've just had my ears tested recently. But that isn't what we're really talking about here. We're really talking about how we're hearing the Word of God. And it's very important how we hear. You see, there's a difference between hearing and knowing. You see, a lot of people know a lot of things. There are a lot of professing Christians who know and read the Word of God. But the question also is, are they hearing? Because you have to have the two together. And this is why Jesus exposed the Pharisees of his time. They could recite the law, the Torah. They probably knew it inside out. They could recite it word by word. But what he was challenging with them, were they hearing? Was there light in them? And that is the difference. And that is why we make so much about how we hear and the light that we walk in this assembly. I want to start this off with two verses in 1 John chapter 1. And it says in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. So we're clearly shown that we are to walk in the light as he is the light. He was the light of the world. His light shines up the way. His light opens up the Word of God. His light reveals the walk that we should walk. It's absolutely essential, this light. And it says also in chapter 2 of 1 John 2, and he says in verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So this light enables us to walk, to abide in him. You have to see where you're going. That is why our eyesight is such a blessing. And you have to see where you're going, where you're walking, when you're driving. All of this is absolutely essential. Well, we have to take that over into the spiritual. And that we have to see, because this seeing and being in the light helps us to be able to hear the word. So as I said, we're calling this teaching, How is Your Hearing These Days? And we're going to start off where the Apostle Paul challenges the church at Galatia with regard to this in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 8. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 8. And I listen to what he says here, because he's emphasizing that we are justified by faith. Remember, this church received the word by the Spirit, but they're now wanting parts of the law. And they're listening to wrong teachers. And we open up here in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want you to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So he's raising a question. He's challenging what is going on here. He's saying to them, did you receive by the Spirit or are you receiving by the works of the law? In other words, he's challenging them, are they walking in the light? Are they hearing? And then it goes on in verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Because you cannot be justified by the flesh. We're justified by faith. And that's what he's raising here. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So he's appealing to the signs that have followed the word, the miracles. He's saying, did this come by hearing the word of God, or was this the works of the law that did this? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. And so it goes on. Well, let's read verse 8 as well. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So that is where we're blessed. We're blessed with Abraham because Abraham believed. And how did he believe? He was hearing, which is important. So you see, believing God's and his word is not just based on religion, traditions or works, which so many are caught up, particularly in denominationalism. You see, true faith leads to salvation and a changed life. And it's that changed life that reveals that we're also hearing what the Spirit is saying. You see, faith will always bear its own fruit and works. This is why Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's a fruit for every trial and test we go through. There is a fruit that will manifest by the Spirit in and through you. But it won't come by the works of the law. It's not there. And this is why those who do not have the light, do not have the Spirit, cannot be made perfect in love and in the fruit of the Spirit. And that is where you test a Christian, by the fruit they are known. Let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verses 37 to 47. And in this, it's revealing Abraham's seed and Satan's seed, and the two are opposed, are in opposition. And we take it up in verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. You see, he's challenging now the people, the Pharisees. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You see, acting their faith, which they don't. They just walked around with their robes, telling everybody else what to do. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. So he says clearly, I've heard from God. Jesus's faith not only was in the word of God, but he hears from God, his father. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. So you see, there is a hearing and a listening. There's an understanding of God's word. And he's challenging them now because they don't understand. They haven't recognized he's their Messiah. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources or his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. It's all that basing on hearing. And that's why we're calling this teaching today, how is your hearing these days? You have to hear. And that is why it is important before we come to these meetings, we have the word that God would enable us, prepare me to hear this word. For faith comes by hearing, reading the word. It's absolutely vital. And so he was exposing their unbelief. They didn't believe. You see, the sword of the Spirit will always reveal those who believe and those who do not. That is the nature of God's word as a sword. And it will expose those who are believing and those who are not. Because it divides, you see. That is the nature of it. And that is indeed what the word of God must do if it's preached under the anointing. That is what it must do. And we have seen the word, the sword of the Spirit, divide over the years in this assembly. You see, faith and hearing isn't about striving. It's about knowing, and based on that knowing that we act accordingly. You see, this is why your time in the Word of God and reading this Word helps you to know. But we also need to hear by the unction, the anointing. And this is paramount. For believers, this is why God sets in the church the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to equip, to mature, to work with God's people. For what? So that they hear also what God is saying. And your hearing confirms and lines up with the word of God. That is how we discern a prophet. A prophet will speak under the anointing, which you hear, which will confirm in the Word what you are reading, what the Spirit is saying to you. And that is how you test a prophet. You test the Spirit within them, 1 John 4. A lot of Christians haven't a clue how to do this. You will if you are hearing God. And your hearing is the Word being confirmed to you. Because God will not speak contrary to His Word. The Word must be with the hearing, and the hearing must be with the Word. That's why it says in Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing the Word. Faith what? Faith to act our faith. To be able to walk each day by faith. To remain faithful to the calling. All of this is our act of faith. We're acting our faith coming to this meeting, listening to this Word. We've acted our faith today through maybe tests and trials. All of this comes as you read and as you hear, you see. And that's why we are so blessed, brothers and sisters. When you are faithful to those two principles, faith then becomes a rest and not a striving, you see. The devil tries to get us to strive, but faith won't strive because we rest in it, knowing that God is faithful. He will bring me through. He has heard my prayers, my cries, you see. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 8 to 16. Hebrews 4, verses 8 to 16. And this is where it's talking about hearing from God, and do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Here it is. It's not about Sabbath, which many interpret it. It's about resting by faith. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. In other words, you are not striving. You are not trying to work at your faith. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So he goes to the word of God with regard to this rest in the context of what we're talking about. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And what's those time of needs? When we're doubting, we're battling. Come boldly before him. Tell him, I'm struggling in the faith. I'm finding it hard to believe in this area or to hold on. But he says, if you do that, then come boldly before me. Because then I will help you. I will support you. Because I am the high priest seated now at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you through your weakness. Because I sympathize with you. I understand. I went through those trials you're going through. That is hearing God. That is hearing what he's saying, lining up with the word of God. This is why this word is such a comfort, brothers and sisters. But we don't always draw from it as we should. And so he's clearly here, as we've read in verses 8 to 16, about how we're hearing. And if we're hearing, then he's going to work that change, he's going to work that deliverance, he's going to drop that word from the head to the heart. The parable of the sower. That's what he's going to do. You see, it takes God's pure word, that seed, in which to produce those true followers of Jesus Christ. The word of God that you hear is making you a true follower and a disciple of Christ. It's not by your works or by your efforts. It's as you hear and obey that which he hears and not resist. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22-23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 22-23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then he goes on about all flesh is grass. See, the word of God is not corrupted. It's pure. It's for the heart. It's to be planted and to bring forth that fruit in season. Let's turn to the parable of the sower again, just to remind ourselves. For example, in Matthew 13, Matthew 13 and verses 1 to 7. Matthew 13, verses 1 to 17. Verses 1 to 17 of Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So because there's a multitude that's following Jesus, he is going to deliver a very important parable. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Exactly the warnings he gives also to the seven churches in Revelation on the basis of how we hear the word of God. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the heart of the people have grown dull. Their ears a hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. I mean, all of that is absolutely profound. What Jesus is giving out there is the absolute sovereignty of God. We are called from the foundation of the world. And he says, if you hear and you read, then you are blessed. You are blessed with your hearing, because God has opened your heart to hear. Many do not hear. It's quite frightening. And this is why our salvation is so profound. And this is why we give him all the praise and all the glory. Because he's enabled us to hear. Because if you do not hear what the Spirit is saying with the word of God that you hear, that sword, then the parable of the sower doesn't really take place. And what seed goes in is wasted, as we've just read to you in the parable. Only the seed that goes into the heart. And that is why you have to have a new heart that is changed from stone to flesh. See, the heart and hearing and knowing are all connected. They are the seat of the emotions. Your heart is needed in how you hear and how you read the word of God. Even when the word of God challenges us, we won't argue or question or dissect the word. We will call on the grace and mercy of God. Lord, help me to obey this. Help me to live this. You see, that is what a soul who's truly born again of God will do. They won't fight against it. They will call on God for that help, for that mercy. And our Father will. Wish to God more Christians would do that, instead of getting offended too quickly. That pride within them. And then the problem sets in. See, Jesus encountered that in his preaching and teaching. He saw those that were responding and those who were reacting, were offended, you see. That is why I always say, faith acts, it doesn't react. And there's the difference. And so we've clearly seen, haven't we, today, that there is a difference between hearing and knowing. And that's why those who walk humbly, who are meek, will always hear. Because they are utterly reliant on the Lord to hear, to confirm the word of God that they read. You see, one of the things, as I close now, God has made us totally, completely, utterly reliable on him. We rely on him. We cannot conceive living our lives now without him. And that's what he wants. We have no life without him. We cannot live in this world without him. And that's the work he is doing, enabling us to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So, how is your hearing these days? That's what we've been talking about today, brothers and sisters. And I trust that we all come out well, a good test, a good report. Your hearing is blessed of the Lord.